We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Bears made their pick.
With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, my Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Keep listening as our Bears experts analyze this move by Ryan Pace and the Bears. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Odyssey Station. The Score! Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Gut feeling right now, who do the Bears pick if they move up?
If they go up, it's going to be for a quarterback, and my fear would be it would be Trey Lance.
If they do move up, who would they do that for? I think Justin Fields would be the guy that if he continues to drop and is sitting there, maybe it's a team between 10 and 12, maybe it's a team between 13 and 15, I don't know. But if Justin Fields is on the board, there's going to be that inner voice that Ryan Pace hears say, go trade up, get him, get him.
I got to jump in here, folks, because at pick 11, you said, could Dave Gettleman trade out? The answer is yes. With Justin Fields and Matt Jones on the board, guess who just traded in? The Chicago Bears just traded in to pick number 11. They are on the clock.
That's got to be quarterback. There's no other way. That has to be a quarterback.
And the question is,
who is it? Is it Justin Fields? Is it Mac Jones?
We have the Giants trading number 11 to the Chicago Bears. The Bears come up presumably for a quarterback. The Giants get back in return. The Bears' first-round pick next year. They're 5 this year, and they're 4 next year. The Bears are coming up. It looks like quarterback time again in Chicago.
Lewis, let's make sure everyone who is watching is aware of all of the pressure that exists right now on the general manager in Chicago, Ryan Pace, and the head coach, Matt Nagy.
Look, I think we know how much pressure is on both of those. There's no question about that. I think this pick is going to have Matt Nagy, the head coach's fingerprints all over it. All over it. In my estimation, that's who's making this pick. This is his evaluation. He evaluated the quarterback class that had Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Mitch Trubisky, and I know exactly how he liked those guys. I know how he had those guys ranked. This is his pick. If it's a quarterback, it's his pick because he knows it's his rear end that's on the line, and he's going to take his guy. So let's just see which one it is.
Here comes the choice of the Chicago Bears.
With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, my Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
And the Bears are all excited. They went YOLO to try and get Russell Wilson. That did not work out. It is now Justin Fields who is their newest quarterback.
I'm the kind of guy that thinks that everything happens for a reason. So I think, you know, this is God's plan for me to be a Bear. So I'm more than excited, and I'm, you know, more than ready to get up there for sure.
Bears.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. God's plan, hashtag blessed.
Morning, Mully. Happy Friday, and it is a new day. It feels like a new day for the Bears. A Fields day, if you will. And what fun that was last night.
Come on. I got to tell you, I mean, look, you know, we could talk about – we'll go over it. We'll get into the price they paid to move up, which was through the nose, frankly. I mean, they definitely overpaid, and we'll get into all of that. But it is a worthwhile exercise to take a shot on a player like this. I never thought when the college season ended, when the draft season began, that the Bears would wind up with Justin Fields. I never thought he would be available at the 11th pick for them to move up 9 spots and get. So I think it's a great pick. I really feel good about it. And I mean, it's the most important position out there. We've picked it apart. We've talked about having a boring draft. We talked about all the recommendations. But David, the fact of the matter is, everything was on the table at the quarterback position, and they really managed a coup. I did not think that they would wind up with the fourth quarterback taken in the draft with the guy that probably was the most scrutinized player during the draft process and had to deal with all the questions that come with that, and fell to a point where they can move up and get him. And bully for them. It's an extraordinary morning.
This was possible because of the slide. This was possible because Justin Fields, who could have gone as high as 3, was there at 11. And when we talked about in the weeks and even months leading up to this draft, all the projections, and frankly, you know, my advice about being, you know, to be boring, Ryan Pace, resist that urge, that was almost because it was predicated around the idea he's going to give up next year's draft and maybe the one after that for a quarterback in Trey Lance that had been so unproven and was boom or bust. But these set of circumstances, this particular context, the draft fell to Ryan Pace just the way you said it could, and just the way you said that if it did, he should pounce, and pounce he did. So when you're sitting there at 11 and Justin Fields is still on the board, and you're dealing with Dave Gettleman, a general manager who had not traded down in 8 previous drafts, you think, okay, well, is this going to happen or not? And this was the right move. This was a bold move, and this is the Bears hitting reset. It feels like they hit reset on the franchise, and this is the most exciting move they have made since they traded for Khalil Mack. No doubt about that.
Yeah, it is a really exciting move, and I think that we heard Lewis Riddick there, his voice coming in, one of the analysts, talking about a good friend of Matt Nagy, by the way. He worked with Matt Nagy, and he knows how Matt Nagy evaluated the quarterbacks and how he feels about the quarterbacks. And, you know, I thought it was fascinating to hear him kind of credit Matt Nagy with the pick that, you know, we had talked about. This idea of consensus, we'd heard this from Ryan Pace. Was it a consensus, or was it the quarterback guru that you hired? I mean, certainly I would say that Justin Fields is much more like a Deshaun Watson, like a Patrick Mahomes, than he is a Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, good comp. I think you're right. And Molly, that's good ears. And because – when Lewis Riddick said what he said, immediately that was his reaction. It was as if he had had this discussion with Matt Nagy prior to the draft. This is Matt Nagy's guy. This is not him coming into a situation where he inherits a quarterback as he did with Mitch Trubisky. The comparisons are inevitable. You know, the hesitation is based on Ryan Pace's past, the guy who picked the player more than the player himself. But I think that Nagy now – the challenge becomes, and the question remains, can he develop the guy who his hand picked? You know, when you look at scheme wise, when you look at all these other things we talk about specialized for this scheme, forget about the scheme. You've got a multidimensional dual threat, tremendous athlete in Justin Fields. You tailor your offense around him rather than the other way around, and you hope that Matt Nagy has learned that lesson.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm excited on a lot of different levels. I understand that there are people that believe there are things that need to be worked on and fixed before Justin Fields is ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I also think that Andy Dalton you know, he got himself Gannon yesterday. Glennon, excuse me. He got himself Glennon. I mean, that you know, QB1 is a very temporary designation at this point, David. I think Justin Fields is QB future, and he may well be QB this coming year. We don't know when he's ready to hit the field, but I have seen people complain about things with him. Again, very scrutinized during the draft process. Not sure it's fair, but a guy that does kind of have a little bit of a windup, so you're going to have to work on his release point and his throwing. You're going to have to be aware of how quickly he's picking things up. They've complained that, well, there was a complaint that he didn't work hard enough, which was completely shot down. There's been a complaint that he doesn't process information correctly, which has been shut down if you watch the tape. And I think that there are things, you know, this is not a finished product player. This is a guy you will have to work with, but you can easily argue that in terms of the talent, this is perhaps as talented a quarterback as there is in this draft.
Outside of Trevor Lawrence, I would totally agree with everything you just said because, you know, Trevor Lawrence, I think, is one of the more sure things to come into the league in several years. But Justin Fields, to me, has arguably as much talent as anybody else. Absolutely true. Molly, here's the thing. You're right. The mechanics, you have to work on those a little bit to smooth them out. But the stuff right. about his work ethic was unfair. Him being yep. a one-read guy, you know, I think that sometimes is overstated because of the competition you play and because of what he's asked to do. I'm not sure that's fair either. But I do believe this. You know, Andy Dalton, I don't think, is comparable to the Mike Glennon situation in this regard. Mike Glennon was blindsided by that 2017 draft. And he was also a guy that you didn't trust that he could start an entire season or even a bulk of a season before giving way to the rookie, you know, on his heels. I look at Andy Dalton, and I wonder if it's more the Alex Smith model that they're going to try to replicate, the one that Matt Nagy saw firsthand in Kansas City when Patrick Mahomes was drafted. And I do wonder if that is the long-term or short-term plan for Justin Fields in his development. If Andy Dalton can play that role, then I think that it implies a couple other things about job security and longevity that we can get into later. But I look at Dalton's, you know, presence in the Bears quarterback room and maybe on this roster as more of a positive than a negative and more Alex Smith than Mike Glennon.
You know, I'm not arguing with that in any way. I'm just kind of talking about different kind of situations that we've seen come through. I got to be honest with you. I'm a Ohio State football fan. I watch all their games, and I have since I was a little kid because we wore the same uniforms when I was playing at Tommy Moore. And I don't know how I got hooked on that, but I sure did. And I've seen pretty much every game this guy's played. And right. I got to tell you, I mean, I was stunned that it wasn't 1-2 like it was coming out of high school for Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I was really surprised at some of the criticism and some of the things they were saying, and I was trying to watch tape and see what they were talking about. I honestly believed that when San Francisco made that move, that was the player they were going to take. I never expected him. And David, I know you like him. We've talked about that very fact. And you know, I loved what you wrote this morning at 670 The Score. I think it's a great read, and it's also you do use context. You do talk about the things we're talking. There, if you're not optimistic, cautiously optimistic, then you're not a football fan. This is a player. Matt Nagy, supposedly this great quarterback with this great scheme. And this is a player that can do so many different things on the football field, can be used in so many creative ways. I mean, knowing Nagy and the way the guy sat in his room with all his plays around him, don't you think he was up half the night just jotting down different things and different ways he's going to do?
He didn't sleep.
He's got to be shot out of a cannon.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have been able to sleep after that. Look, you're getting a guy that isn't necessarily – he's a project in that you have to fine-tune some of his – things that we mentioned, but this is a guy coming to you who was 20-2 as a starter at Ohio State, the Ohio State University. Yep. This is a guy with 5,300 passing yards in college. You know what his touchdown interception ratio was? 63-9. He runs a 4-4. He's a leader. He's a winner. He's a tough guy. Anybody that remembers how he played through pain and when it mattered the most with his team playing for a championship, this guy is a tough guy. Hope has re-entered the equation for the Bears. It's an odd feeling, Chicago. It is, because there's so much cynicism that we have with everything that Ryan Pace does, and I get that. That was the only thing that gave me pause last night. It wasn't the player. It was the person picking the player, and I think that you remove that, and it's like, what's not to like?
Yeah, David. I mean, listen, I think that if you're a fan of this team, now is the time to be optimistic. Now is the time to appreciate and celebrate the idea that they have a player that potentially could drag them out of this kind of quarterback hell that they've been in for low these many years. And I think that this is a player that when we talk about, you know, what was it? In 2020, he completed 78.6% of his play action deep passes. That's extraordinary. Those are at least 20 yards in the air, and he's hitting these passes. That's the highest mark among all of the of the passers with at least 10 attempts over the last 10 seasons. That's extraordinary. That is a guy like this can work, and I don't know that we've felt that way about a quarterback in the Bears in a very long time.
No, I think you had some feeling and hope and maybe some, you know, some cautious optimism in 2018 when Mitch really had some moments that were big moments. But I think you always had in the back of your mind the concerns about how he would, you know, whether he would take that next step. I think Justin Fields, it's just so obvious when you watch him play the special talent that he possesses. And he is the guy. And how many people have we talked to when you have that kind of presence in your building, it changes the temperature in every room. He has the ability, the franchise quarterback, the true franchise quarterbacks have that ability to change every aspect of your organization. And the feeling is that the Bears got one of those guys last night. And so you're sitting there watching, Mully, and I know we're all hunkered down watching the draft. And when you saw the news, admit it, what went through your mind when you saw the news? The Bears have made a trade to move up to number 11. It was like you feel this sort of anxiety. You're like, oh, my gosh, he did it again. Then it's like, no. Yes!
Yeah, I know. I mean, I hate to say it, but thank God it wasn't Mac Jones. I don't think I could have handled that with Justin Fields sitting on the board. And you know what was funny? I was really amused at how many national people picked up on sort of the look on his face, like he got picked and there was this moment where he had this look on his face. And I saw a ton of people suggesting nationally that, you know, oh, you know, he's dreading this. He's going to the Bears. What a disaster for him, because he knows the coach and the GM are getting fired. Like, didn't they hear the end of the year news conference? I mean, I got to tell you, I did not have that reaction at all. I was very happy. I thought, my God, they got Justin Fields. How is that possible that he fell to that spot in the draft? How did he fall out of the top 10? And how did they go up and get him? And listen, Gettleman hasn't made deals, David, because he hasn't been able to win deals. So he feels like he got a real win here.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why he made the trade. He even said, I happened to see his news conference earlier in the week as I was, you know, obsessively watching draft stuff. He actually said that he wanted to move back, but no one would give him enough. No one would make a deal with them. And I would suspect that the Bears were willing to do whatever they had to do to make a deal with him. And they probably threw in that fourth round pick or something. I mean, they probably added more than they expected they would get for said position. And again, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. One guy who says, you know, I can get just as much if I move down and look what I'm going to get next year and all that's good for him. He feels he has a quarterback. the Bears are desperate for a quarterback, or were last night. Let's put it that way.
And he took advantage of that, and he got a good deal. You know, he got a fifth rounder this year, a first and a fourth next year. He can look his fan base, you know, in the eye and his staff in the building and think that he got the best of this deal because he didn't need a quarterback. Ryan Pace was, you know, his inspiration was desperation, as we talked about. So he went into that. And Molly, the thing that I think is important, too, and we'll talk about this moving on, there's a big difference in the price and the big difference in the ask when you're talking about moving up from 20 to number 4 and 20 to 11. And that difference was significant enough to justify taking the calculated risk that this was for Ryan Pace in his mind and anybody's mind. So those factors changed. The draft fell to him, and they did the smartest thing, the best thing. And, yeah, there's risk involved in everything, but this was the right move for the Bears.
All right, we're going to get right to the 5 at 5. So many great things, tons of stuff happening. The draft was very interesting from a Bears perspective, especially the news beforehand. Maybe the Green Bay Packers are falling apart. That would be glorious. So we'll get into all of it. We have the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Breaking Bears news. In the 2021 NFL Draft, the Bears trade up to get quarterback Justin Fields. Could this end up being the move to solve the Bears' quarterback problems? Keep it here as we continue to cover this huge move by Ryan Pace and the Bears on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. An Odyssey station. Breaking news on The Score is powered by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Are you okay with the assets the Bears gave away, including next year's number one pick, to land a talent like Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields? Is there any part of you that thinks the Giants got more than they should have via a pace tax?
Yeah, I think the pace tax is that when you give away as much as you give away, people will always ask for a little something more because they know you'll give it away. And I think that happened. I don't think Gettleman makes that deal unless he feels that he got the better of it. And again, I don't think it matters. I hate to be like this because you know how I feel about draft picks and you know how I feel about getting one-eyed about guys. It drives me nuts, David and Dustin. But I got to tell you, I'm so happy that they wound up with this guy. I can't believe if you had told me they were going to come out of a draft with this guy, I would have thought they'd had to pay a heck of a lot more. And maybe I won't be as happy moving forward, but I really feel good about this move. And if it took what it took, it's a worthwhile risk. And it's not often you say that, but this is a different one for me. And I say, okay, that's what you had to give up. That's what they demanded. They want a little sweetener because I give you a sweetener. Take the sweetener. Off we go.
There was a little bit of a sweetener there, and I love the idea of it being called a pace tax because he probably did demand a little bit more, and the Bears, you know, had a decision to make. Okay, did you anticipate the draft falling to you the way that it did? Did you think that, you know, after you saw back-to-back cornerbacks go off the board with the Panthers and the Broncos and then the Eagles trade up to get a wide receiver, you know, everything seemed to be falling into place when there were two quarterbacks left on the board? And so you were willing at that point, I think, to pay a little bit extra because you know what? It wasn't as much as you would have had to have given up if you were really compelled to move up to 4.
Right.
And that's where I think that there's this little gray area that existed in I think, philosophically, what you would be, what would constitute overpaying. Did they overpay a little? Yes. Did they overpay a lot? Not really. And you know what? If you're right, if Justin Fields works out, you won't care about the cost. It'll be priceless because there's no way that you can really duplicate that experience and get a franchise quarterback that you've never had. So this is definitely worth the cost. It was steep. And Dave Gettleman woke up this morning feeling very good about his trade. And Ryan Pace woke up this morning feeling even better about his, because this has been the player I think that he feels like has eluded him and this franchise. And they have to feel very good this morning that they found him.
Yeah, David, I agree. If it all works out, the price doesn't matter. It will be priceless, and we'll all have. Are you okay, David, with him wearing number one at quarterback? Does that work in the numerology?
You know,
in the numerology aspect of things.
I'm coming around. I'm glad you asked that, Dustin. I've got to adjust to that. But since he wore it in college, and everyone's be wearing different numbers, okay.
I'll be honest. It was one of the first five. It was one of the first five things I thought about. Believe it or not, after the pick, was if we were going to get into the numerology of it, and would he wear 1 or 11, or what would be the appropriate number. There's so much here, and I was texting with Mully. Like, I'm one of those, I'm not a national guy, but I'm agreeing with the national guys. My daughter was actually watching the draft with me, and she's like, shouldn't he be more happy right now? Is he upset that he doesn't want to be a Chicago Bear? Like, she asked that question. She doesn't know what's going on really with the NFL draft. She's not a draftnik or anything like that. It was just the body language. He's not necessarily the most outgoing guy. Ohio State's got all kinds of talent around them. And is he going to be the next Dwayne Haskins, Cardale Jones? Is that something we have to worry about? I know this is not the answer to the question, but I just wanted to get that off my chest, because I don't have a ton of time here to do that. But just I want it to work out, but I just have to be, as David, and as cautiously optimistic about the whole thing. As far as the price, I think Ryan Pace was even willing to pay more to get this guy. I think he was single focused on Fields. I think he would have gone up even higher if he felt like he had to, but he didn't. So I think both guys, Gettleman and Pace, went to bed last night feeling good about what happened. And I also do love the idea of a Pace tax. That was very well written.
Really awesome question. I'd say this.
Do you agree with ESPN analyst Louis Riddick, who called the pick a Matt Nagy selection and pointed out it's closer to Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes than Mitch Trubisky? Is it a consensus that Nagy rather than Pace was the man driving this decision?
I don't think there's any doubt. And I think that was a quick observation by Louis Riddick, who's very familiar with the Bears organization and is a good friend and a longtime friend of Matt Nagy. So I think he knows what's going on here. And this could be the draft that we look back at where the power sort of shifted at Hallis Hall. You know, I think when you talk about job security, this solidifies Matt Nagy more so than it does Ryan Pace even. And I'm not sure that it really threatens either guy, Mully and Dustin. I think the one thing that we need to kind of, you know, edit in terms of our thinking or our narrative that we sort of had laid out there is that this has been sort of couched and presented as a win or else season for both guys. Not now. I would challenge that narrative. I don't think that they operated like a group together collectively, like they fear for their jobs. This is a decision that's going to take time to see how you feel about it. It's hopeful today. There's optimism that's cautious, but it's there. It's real. There's excitement in the air in Chicago again. That's fun. But I don't think it's immediate. So this is a two-year process at least before you start to see, you know, that's the way they're probably viewing it. So this is definitely Matt Nagy's deal. Ryan Pace made it happen. But when you heard Pace last night on the Zoom conference, he talked about all the athleticism, all the things that Justin Fields offers. And he said it would be doing a disservice. That is the exact word. We'll hear the quote later. Doing a disservice if they weren't able to take advantage of that. That was the challenge to his head coach, not intentionally. So this is Matt Nagy's handpicked quarterback. Now he's got to find to make it work.
Because as much as Ryan Pace said nothing before the draft, he kind of said a lot when he talked about the consensus thing, and he talked about how great it is to have guys in the room that are former quarterbacks that know the quarterback position, etc. I think Louis Riddick has got his finger on the pulse. I think there's no doubt that Matt Nagy has become a more powerful figure at Hallis Hall than he had been, because Matt Nagy wasn't here when they made some of those bad decisions at the quarterback position, like the trade up for Mitchell Trubisky. So I'm not saying that he made the pick, but I mean, he has a specific scheme he wants to run, and they got a player that is going to be good at that. Now, here's the thing. And Dustin, you kind of, you know, talked about it a little bit. To me, the look on Justin Fields' face was not, oh, no, I'm going to the Bears and they're all going to get fired in a year and I'm going to be left, you know, dealing with another coach and another system. I think the look on his face was, I cannot believe that I just fell to number 11 and that Trey Lance and Zach Wilson went ahead of me. I'm sure that was probably the reason, the fact that he wasn't in the top 10, the fact that he fell out of it. I think that was the look on his face. I think he's a competitive guy. Now, quarterback development takes time. You know, we have not seen it happen very often in Chicago. It might have happened on the 5th of never. I'm not sure. I got to go check my schedule and calendars. But we haven't seen this happen. This is not overnight sensation stuff. You've got to give it a little bit of air. And, I mean, I think this is a guy that can do so many things, it's going to be really hard to not want to get to it. But it is wiser to take your time and get to it. But like Matt Nagy, I want to see what he can do in that scheme. I want to see if that scheme works when you have a guy that can actually run it and has all the physical attributes that would seemingly fit perfectly into what they're doing.
I hope your read, Mully, on the body language is better than mine. And that also crossed my mind. Maybe he's just ticked off that he wasn't number two. He wasn't the number two guy. And I'm sure competitively he wanted to be the number one guy. I mean, Ohio State did beat Clemson, right? And who quarterbacked Ohio State and who quarterbacked Clemson? But that's going to be the question hanging over this is why did he go all the way down to 11? But to answer the question, body language again. When they went inside the Bears draft room, at least the four-letter network version that I saw, I still unfortunately do not have the NFL Network with my cable provider. Matt Nagy was walking around like chest out, shoulders back. Ryan Pace did not look like he was walking real tall in his shoes. He kind of. I mean, Matt Nagy looked excited and Pace didn't. If you didn't see it, and I get it, you get caught up and everybody takes stuff in. If you've got it on the DVR, run it back later today. Don't do it now. Keep listening to us. Take a look at that body language and see and see if you agree with me. I do believe this is now Matt Nagy's team.
Okay, so
I believe
now that
Ryan Pace. Okay, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, now that Matt Nagy's taken over, is he going to hire Lewis Riddick to replace Ryan Pace? Is that what's?
Well, I think part of that could be on what happens the rest of this weekend with the draft. I think this is where Pace potentially does his best work, is not day one, but days two and days three. And this is where I don't think Matt Nagy is on notice, but I do think Ryan Pace is on notice. And I think Matt Nagy will be the head coach of the Bears at least one more year after this year, so two more years. I don't know that Ryan Pace will be the general manager at this time next year when the Bears don't have a number one pick, if the picks today and tomorrow don't have immediate impact on the field this coming season.
Dustin, is your course on body language study available online?
It is. Yeah, you could go to the Illinois Media School, David, and you can get taught body language and radio by me.
Does guest Professor Biggs appear on that?
What kind of question is that?
How serious will this Aaron Rodgers situation get in Green Bay? Do you think he's played his last game as a Packer? Does that affect the hope you have in the Bears?
Listen, if Aaron Rodgers is out of the division, that is unbelievable. That changes the entire balance of power. If you could somehow have Aaron Rodgers take off for the West Coast, that means two more wins in the division, right? How good is Aaron Rodgers against the Bears again? I think he's kind of a horror story, if I'm not mistaken. So that would be fairly extraordinary if that were to happen. And, you know, I got to tell you, if he decides that one-horse podunk town is not for him, that he wants a little culture and civilization, and he gets himself out of there, I think that would be pretty glorious. And frankly, what the hell did they do in the draft? They I mean, listen, they need a corner. I'm not arguing that. Who was it? Elijah Moore is on the board sitting there. And I mean, right. We talked about him at number 20. Are you kidding me? Like, they didn't even throw a bone to the guy. I guess they're mad that they had to burn up air miles going out to beg him to come back. I love that this story exists. I think there's an arrogance for the way they've put their team together while Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback. They obviously the trade up to get the quarterback last year, that offended him. They also took a running back in the second round when they didn't need one. They didn't do anything to help that football team win last year. I'm talking about weapons for the offense. They just rely on Rodgers. Everything's going to be okay. You know, we're going to start building for the future. That was, I got to tell you, he didn't know that they were going to do that. They didn't talk to him. They didn't tell him that. And I think that that they can offer him all they want. The guy wants out. That is a bad situation, and hopefully it gets significantly worse. And I'm all on board for the Packers imploding.
Absolutely. I mean, when you talk about the Bears winning the draft before it even started, when those reports came out, Mark Schlereth reporting in Denver that the Broncos were as close as you could be to finalizing a deal. You know that they probably talked late last night, near midnight. Gutekunst is on his Zoom conference saying, we're not trading Aaron Rodgers, so let's wait and see. But absolutely, you're paying attention and enjoying this from a Bears fan perspective because, you know, the part owners of the Bears are Pat Ryan, Andy McKenna, and Aaron Rodgers. You know, you want him out of town as soon as possible, out of the division, out of the conference. Goodbye. Go to Denver. Enjoy the Rocky Mountains because this does give you hope. If he leaves, you now, who's going to have a better future, Molly, in the next 5 to 8 years, guys? Is it Justin Fields or is it Jordan Love? You know, I think you feel good about Justin Fields right now if you're a Bears fan. So, I don't know where this is headed, but turmoil for a team that was as good as the Packers were last year over the last couple seasons. You're talking about the MVP. This never happens. So, yeah, more controversy the better, and it does affect the Bears because it just fuels that hope that you feel now that they have their quarterback.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you guys said. They basically gave Aaron Rodgers the double bird salute with Eric Stokes getting picked at 29. I mean, it's like, really? And yeah, they needed a corner, but you're not even placating the guy. I think he has played his last game in Green Bay. Of course, the general manager said last night that he's their guy, he's their leader, yada, yada, yada. There's salary cap implications involved. That all changes and gets a little softer for the Packers come June 1st, I believe the date is. So I do believe he is gone, and as a Bears fan, it does give you some hope because he would be out of the division. Jordan Love is a young guy. We have no idea how good or how bad he's going to be. And last night, the Vikings and the Lions took offensive linemen with their picks. They didn't, I mean, those are offensive players, but they're just players to try to keep their quarterback standing upright. So, yeah, this could be really great news. Really, really great news for the Bears. This could be great. And if you look at what Denver went ahead and they got a cornerback last night, and maybe they go offense early in today's draft when they pick, and then the Raiders got another lineman. Everybody thinks they reach, but I'll tell you what, Alabama's been putting out some pretty decent offensive linemen. So Alex Leatherwood may be helping Aaron Rodgers stay upright, and we'll see if they keep going offense later today and adding. So maybe everybody's drafting and trying to impress Aaron Rodgers, because supposedly it's Denver and the Raiders are right up there at the top. And Lynch admitted yesterday that, yes, they did call. And the Packers acted like, oh, no, we had no conversation. So somebody's lying. Lynch said they did call, and they got the Heisman from the Packers, but the Packers acted like they didn't have any conversations whatsoever.
That was a matter of semantics, I think, really carefully. I think the answer for the Packers' denial was yesterday nobody talked or they didn't get a call.
And specifically on Thursday.
Because it was Wednesday. And you're right to pick up on that, because I felt like it was caught in a lie. But when you look closer, they talked around it rather than directly to it, and they definitely had a conversation.
in that story yesterday, that was Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' agents doing. That's why that happened when that happened. And I will say, kind of shame on Aaron Rodgers for that day. I mean, it did take away from all of those young guys, like all the 2 hours, 2.5 hours, however much pre-draft you guys watched. All we heard about was Aaron Rodgers and how this was going to affect the draft. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers. Like, let these guys have their moment, please. Let it not be all about you prima donna, for one second.
Oh, stop. You know, let me say this. Go host
Jeopardy.
Dustin, they said on one of those programs I was watching, they said something along the lines, and I didn't have time to look it up because I got caught in Bearphoria. And I had an unbelievable day, guys. Man United won. Sox win 2. The Cubs win. I mean, it was like, good God, Mully's on a heater. But I got to tell you, they said that their previous 8 picks, first-round picks, before Jordan Love, were all on the defensive side of the football. Is that accurate? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
so
unbelievable. They've never gotten the guy help. So that's what you get, prima donna.
But he does have a Pro Bowl left tackle. He does have a Pro Bowl wide receiver. He has a Pro Bowl running back. So the idea that the cabinet is bare and it's all Aaron Rodgers is a little bit ridiculous.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
What was the best part of the White Sox doubleheader sweep over the Tigers?
Oh, boy. An embarrassment of riches. You could pick a variety of things. I thought in the opener, Carlos Rodon cemented his status as the pitcher of the month in the American League. He improved to 4-0. His ERA after the month of April is 0.72. Okay, he's given up 7 hits this year, 36 strikeouts, 9 walks. That's a lot to like. But it got even better. A good night got better for the White Sox because I had very low expectations. I wasn't watching pitch by pitch because we had the draft to monitor, and that was a lot of fun. But goodness sakes, I had to look twice when I turned it back and, like, Dylan Cease is still in the game. Wait, Dylan Cease is in the game? It's past the 4th inning? What is going on here? Dylan Cease hasn't walked anybody? No, he didn't. 7-inning shutout, 9 strikeouts, 91 pitches, the model of efficiency. If I'm looking for a takeaway, yeah, it was great they hit, and it was the Tigers, though. If I'm looking for a takeaway, it was Dylan Cease doing what we had hoped he would have started the season doing, and that was being efficient. It was hitting his spots. It was striking out batters, and it was looking like the pitcher the Sox need him to be, and they get the doubleheader sweep of the Tigers, and they look like the team that is a World Series contender, and Rodon and Cease, big part of that rotation.
You know, I think the answer is pitching, the best part of the sweep over the Tigers, which wasn't a sweep. It was a doubleheader sweep, but, I mean, they did lose that one game that still infuriates me. I thought they hit well enough, but I thought that Carlos Rodon was just special. And Liam Hendricks, by the way, looked like the guy they went out and paid money for. He looked absolutely outstanding in his brief little visit in the 7th inning. There is not a doubt that Dylan Cease and what he managed to do, we've been waiting for him to put it together. And for him to have a complete game shutout, all right, at 7 innings, that is extraordinary. And that really speaks to the pitching they have. I think that Carlos Rodon, with apologies to Michael Kopech, is the best pitcher on the team right now. I don't think there's a doubt about it. He is just – it's so much fun to watch. I was keeping up like you were, David. The difference is after I finished up watching all the draft stuff, I barely slept last night. I went back knowing it was 11-0 and watched that game so that I could enjoy it. That's how much I appreciated that victory. So a lot of good hitting, a lot of good stuff happened, but it was pitching.
Career high – 12 strikeouts, Carlos Rodon. That's it. That's the answer. But to piggyback on something you said there, Mully, about, with apologies to Michael Kopech, that Carlos Rodon is the best pitcher on the White Sox. Not only is he the best pitcher on the White Sox, but a question that didn't make it out of the inbox and onto the 5-5 or the pick 6. Carlos Rodon is the best pitcher in Chicago right now.
As a big sports fan, I love the question.
Why do you think the city of Chicago allowed the United Center to host fans starting next week for the final two Blackhawks games and the final four Bulls games? How comfortable would you be going to a game? Good or bad idea?
You know, doesn't it seem like it was just kind of throwing a bone? Okay, we'll let you have some people there so we can all pretend everything's normal. You know, I'd love to go. I have not missed I love going to sporting events, and there is nothing like a Blackhawks game. I remember taking the kids when they were little. It's like watching Wheel of Fortune. There's just so many bells and whistles and things going on. It's fantastic, and the NBA always worth the price of admission. So I'm delighted that they're doing it because it means we're loosening up because we're getting better. So everybody get your shots.
So Chicago's positivity rate dropped to 4.7 this week, 4.7%, and it was the first time since March that it dipped below 5%. So I get the direction this is all headed and reopening, and everybody seems to be headed in the same direction, the right direction. Yeah, you do wonder a little bit, though, if there's a little quid pro quo here. Rocky Wirtz and Jerry Reinsdorf have been supportive financially and otherwise of the mayor, and so I think that it's natural to wonder cynically maybe how much that played a role in all of this, because you know you don't have that many games left, but every game that you play at the United Center, it means you know they can make money or recoup some of the losses that they've incurred over the last tough year during the pandemic. 5,250 fans per game. It'll feel like a lot more because of how long it has been. So a lot of anticipation in the air for two teams that frankly may not be making the playoffs, but it will be fun to see them in person and either way. So I do look forward to at least experiencing that if possible.
Since the mayor of Chicago does pay attention to sports, as we heard coming into this question, that might have been part of it too. Like, she's opening the gates because both these teams look like they're not going to make the postseason, so there won't even be postseason games to host at the United Center. Yes, I think some of this is business. I truly believe in my heart of hearts that we could have done that sooner. We could have opened up sooner, and then you let the consumer, the fan, decide whether or not he or she wants to go into the UC. I would not go into the UC right now. I would not take my wife to the UC. I would not go with a buddy if he asked me to go. And I might even say thanks, but no thanks, Mitch, if he gave me a free ticket to go to the game. I would go to an outdoor event. I don't know that I'm ready to go to the indoor event, as I am on the precipice. If I'm using that word right, you two will tell me if I'm not, but I am on the precipice of getting shot number two later today.
We got to get to a baseball game. I mean, wait a
yes, I'm all for it. I'm all for outside. I don't think that I'm ready even like next bowl season, next Blackhawks season. Count me in. I'm not ready for inside thousands of people yet.
But if it's a baseball game, I mean, who's pitching? I mean, I don't want to see one of these Cubs.
One of those Sox guys. Come on.
Okay. Yeah. Kopech, Rodon, or okay, maybe.
Jake Arrieta. Michael. Jake Arrieta, the ace of the staff.
Maybe Jake. I think I'd go see Jake. I'm not sure about Zach Davies, though. If it's Zach Davies, I might have something come up.
I hate to say it, but
I'd rather go to Arlington in that case.
If the professor, if something goes wrong with the professor here, we might not want to go see him. That's shocking, huh? All right. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about the draft. 312-644-6767. We're going to talk about the shock moves and the winners and the losers. And I'm putting the Bears in the winner category. And if you got a problem with that, give us a shout. 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Breaking Bears news. In the 2021 NFL Draft, the Bears trade up to get quarterback Justin Fields. Could this end up being the move to solve the Bears' quarterback problems? Keep it here as we continue to cover this huge move by Ryan Pace and the Bears on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. An Odyssey station. Breaking news on The Score is powered by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.